Oh, this is beautiful. This is so wonderful. It makes me laugh. You remember? Remember? Like 4 years ago when there was a president who wanted to build a wall on the southern border to be able to control or help control who comes across the border and who doesn't. And that was called racist. Racist. Well, now it's A-okay. Oh, good morning. It's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Thanks for tuning in to Wham Talk Radio. Sarah Smith is womaning the news desk as she always does here on the Snark Factor. Good morning, Sarah.
Build the wall. Build the wall. It's called Biden's border wall now.
Oh,
Biden's wall. That xenophobe, Zionist, racist, brown person hating.
This is beautiful. What changed between the Trump administration, the Biden administration, where all of a sudden building a wall on the southern border isn't so racist anymore? What changed, Sarah?
Yeah, it's perfectly acceptable. We love it. And we all know, say it with me now, the good guys are in charge.
Well, and here's what's beautiful about this whole thing is there's still conflicting reports whether this is a thing or not. Mm-hmm. Homeland Administration came out. Homeland Security, excuse me. Homeland Administration came out and said there is no new administration policy with respect to the border walls. From day one, the administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. So is it? Is it not? I just find the whole thing hilarious. This is unbelievable. So if you haven't seen the story, ladies and gentlemen, from the AP, the Biden administration says it is using executive power to allow border wall construction in Texas.
Build the wall. The best part is that when Biden was questioned about it, he said that this money was appropriated in 2019 and there's nothing I can do to stop it. And I'm just going, man, y'all, he thinks you're stupid. Like, he straight up is, there's nothing I can do to stop this. For the last 2 years, you have halted the second in January 21st, 2021. You halted the building of the wall. And now he's like, my hands are tied.
It's priceless.
Oh, it's really amazing. It's really, 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 really amazing. And the cherry on top of the wall cake is that the Biden administration is overriding, dismissing Mayorkas and the Department of Homeland Security are throwing out like 20 some odd federal environmental protection acts.
What?
In order to do this. This is amazing. It's amazing.
It's so almost like it's getting close to an election.
Weird, but it's so strange because they've been telling me that the border is totally secure. I've been told many, many, many times about how secure the border is.
Yeah. So why are they doing this? It doesn't make any sense. It's almost as if people haven't been honest with this for a long time.
Hmm? It's from the Washington Times. The headline reads, "No mas. Biden administration admits immediate need for Texas border wall amid massive migrant surge." This is, I want to tell you guys some of these things that have been thrown out. This waiver covers 26 federal laws. Are you ready for these that are being waived in order to build this wall? The Endangered Species Act, the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act, and the Native American Graves Protection and the Graves Protection Act. Out the window, they're going to kill eagles. They're gonna they're gonna dig up buried Native Americans. They're going to, and how, who knows how many endangered species are going to be affected by this? Because that's how important building the wall is to Joe Biden. That is how important it is to Joe Biden that we build the wall. Build the wall. Build the wall.
I can't help but think back to the end of the Trump presidency and found a piece over at Time magazine talking about the president's last visit to the border wall. Here's what to know about its legacy. As of January 4th of 2021, the federal government has designated $15 billion towards constructing the wall, but only 47 miles of the wall have been built where no barrier previously existed, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Under the Trump administration, the government built a total of 452 miles of border wall, but roughly 400 miles were reconstructions of existing barriers, primarily in California and Arizona. New Mexico. President-elect Joe Biden has promised that not another foot of wall would be constructed under his administration.
Not another foot.
Not another foot. This, this is so delicious. It has to be fattening.
It is something else, that's for sure. And as your resident voice of the liberals on the internet, crickets, people, crickets.
What?
Absolute crickets. They have nothing to say. Nothing. They don't care about the endangered species. They do not care about the water. They don't care because the good guy's building the wall. You see, this is an important thing because the good guy's doing it.
Because he's not a racist.
No. He's not a racist. He's not doing it because he doesn't like brown people. That's why Trump only built the wall, because he doesn't like brown people.
Biden has promised to undo most, if not all, of Trump's immigration policies.
That's worked out really well.
Yeah, many in the first 100 days of office, including a complete halt on border wall construction.
Remember when he sat down with that stack of executive orders to undo all of Trump's stuff and just sat there signing it, and everybody sat at home fawning over their dear supreme leader with tomatoes and sour cream and how amazing he was in saving them from the orange authoritarian? We are a blessed people.
Biden's plan for his first 100 days in office include putting an end to Trump's February 2019 national emergency declaration that diverted billions of dollars from other federal programs to build the wall.
Is this the money that he's saying that they appropriated already that he can't stop?
He can't stop it. Trump is such a powerful ex-president that the current president's hands are tied when it comes to any policy.
It's just nothing he can do.
Nothing he can do. Mm-hmm. I'm sure MSNBC will go right along with that, too. Mm-hmm. Most of the wall construction took place in 2019. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration has also continued to award construction contracts to builders as recently as that month, which was January of 2021. It's simply amazing that he's doing this now and not a peep. You have to look for the coverage of what, and there's absolutely no analysis. But yet, if you do a Google search, if you get on the Google machine, if you go over to Ask Jeeves and you type in Trump's border wall and racist, there's tons of coverage of how awful this border wall is, how terrible it was. And meanwhile, as the story says, there were barricades on the border before Trump decided to build a wall. So were those barricades racist? I don't understand the, if someone could explain this to me where, okay, if it's a barricade, it's not really racist. But if you turn into like a wall, That's racist.
It's not even, it's not the structure. You know, you have to understand, it's not the structure of it. It's who built it.
No.
Yeah, it's who built it that makes the difference. Who and their motives. Because it's so simple. You've assigned Trump the motive of keeping brown people out of America because mm-hmm. most people are so simple and that they just think everybody coming across the border is just, you know, just brown people, right?
Yeah.
And that's it. So anything that Trump did was for that purpose. And anything that Barack Obama did or that Joe Biden has done is for the good of the American people.
Of course, because they care. They care about you.
They care.
Democrats care about you. Republicans just care about themselves mm-hmm. and enriching themselves. Mm-hmm. And they do not care about people on Main Street. They care about Wall Street, Sarah. That's what I'm told.
Exactly. Precisely.
So this is beautiful. I could not be happier with these developments because it once again illustrates to the masses, whether they're willing to accept it or not, is another question. You're being played.
Look, all of this wouldn't even be an issue if everyone hadn't gone so... Everybody dove headfirst into the shallow end of the pool when it came to Trump. It was every... All of a sudden, everybody you knew was a political expert and was sharing 2, 3, 4 posts a day, memes and articles and all. I mean, it was this constant influx of like, we are under threat. And then they just disappeared.
Yeah. Well, because like you said, they don't need to pay attention anymore because the good guys are in charge.
It's just so, the sense is indeed common, if you will. Yeah. Just think about it a little bit. Like, and again, you don't have to like Trump, man, but you know, I'm using clean language, but I got a phrase for what these people did over 4 years. And they were just flapping all over the place, making fools of themselves. And now where are they? If I'm doing it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the lazy talk radio host. If this was Donald Trump and he was using executive order to override federal environmental protection acts to build mm-hmm. a portion of a wall
to keep the brown people
out. I'm telling you, you would have posts from Rob Reiner. You would have posts from Stephen King. You would have Mark Ruffalo. You would have all the late night hosts would be all over it. It would be everywhere. You would not be able to sign onto social media without seeing some sort of commentary about it. And that is a fact. That is the truth. That is, we lived through it. We saw it.
AOC would get in her Tesla and drive 300 miles, then take 2 hours off because she'd have to charge her Tesla, and then get back in her Tesla and drive another 300 miles and then take a 2 hour break while she charges, and would eventually get down to the border and make a stop at those kids in the cages because they're still in the cages. And then from there, go to the border wall.
And she'd get a turtle. She'd find a turtle and she'd say, this turtle is its life is at risk here.
Yes. Did you say that are they protecting eagles? Did you say?
Yes, that is the the Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act and the Endangered Species Protection Act, and very important things.
Can I point out how ruthless I think Democrats are?
So ruthless, but please tell me everything.
I think what we would find is a bald eagle would have an unfortunate accident. Oh, yeah. And then they would show the dead bald eagle.
Parade that thing through the public square. Now, yeah. Look what he has done.
Yes. Hey, you know, I can't stand the fact that he's building this wall, but gosh darn it, what I really can't stand is what he's done to the American bald eagle. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Oh, just, yep. That is the lazy right-wing talk radio take of the week. And it's also, like most of them, completely spot on.
Right. And accurate. It may be lazy, but it's accurate.
I just hope I didn't have my laughing soundtrack behind me of the laughing guy I hope he wasn't too loud because you said you couldn't hear me, but I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself, Sarah.
We'll find out soon enough if we have to re-record the intro. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Meanwhile, in Republican land.
Oh, goodness.
I don't know if you heard, Sarah.
Do we have a Speaker of the House yet?
We are recording.
Do we care? No.
We are recording this for air Thursday evening. Mm-hmm. So who the heck? Donald Trump may be Speaker of the House as we speak. Mickey Mouse may be
allegedly.
Speaker.
Allegedly, they're not putting it up for a vote till next week. So,
oh, that's good.
So we don't know exactly when next week, but next week. So when this airs on Sunday, we should, unless Donald Trump comes in and says, hey, why don't you just let me do this while you figure it out?
Well, so apparently Jim Jordan is the odds on favorite at this point.
Yes.
Which
McCarthy's people have been whipping for Jim Jordan.
Yeah. So, which brought out Liz Cheney out of her lair. And she gave a talk, apparently. Speaking of Jordan's bid for the gavel on Wednesday night, Cheney told a packed crowd at the University of Minnesota. I'm guessing it was not a sanctioned speech, but actually there was probably an Applebee's on the University of Minnesota's campus, and she just barged in and started talking. That's my guess.
Try the potato skins.
They're fantastic. if they were to decide that, meaning to give Jordan the speakership, there would no longer be any possible way to argue that a group of elected Republicans could be counted on to defend the Constitution.
What is that word salad nonsense supposed to mean? What does that mean?
It means she is putting a reel together for MSNBC.
Right. I mean, I just these politicians and their sound bites, they really just kill me. And I can't even say Democrats because we all know that Republicans are just as guilty of it.
Right.
It's just because that's all politics is now, is getting your sound bite for later use. And it doesn't even matter what the rest of the soundbite is, right? You ask a hard-hitting question in a hearing, and the witness says, well, that's not at all accurate, and you just say, okay, well, let's move on to the next thing, and that's it. You've had your question. That's it. Congratulations.
So Donald Trump, of course, announced his campaign for the speakership a day after McCarthy was ousted, so there's that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And he has said that he is willing to accept a speakership for a short period of time. He has come out and said that. Who else do we have? Steve Scalise.
Yes.
Has announced a bid. I don't know. Are they going to do like a Byron Donalds? Is there going to be somebody that gets like eight votes of the eight angry? What are we calling them? The angry eight?
I don't know.
That's what people are calling them. Although I don't particularly think they're angry. I just think they're short-sighted.
I mean, if you were completely misled by the speaker and that point, a candidate for speaker, then I think you have every right to be ticked at him. And listen, I'm not a big fan of Kevin McCarthy, but I think there's a time and the place, and you've got to show that you have some sort of plan. And I don't. It just looks like they're it was just, hey, we're really ticked off at this guy and he needs to go. And believe me, if anyone understands that, it's me.
Right. It's not their reasons that I disagree with.
Right.
It's the lack of forethought and planning that has appeared to go into this, where it's the same thing as last time. There was just if you're going to put up some, if you're going to try to take down the person in charge, you need to have somebody to put in their place, like one solid, strong, just that you're all united on that person.
And right now we have a temporary speaker, Patrick McHenry, or who like I like to call him, refer to him as Henry McPatrick.
Nice.
It's more fun to say. Rolls off the tongue.
It is
Henry McPatrick.
I like that. There was some back and forth about either he or McCarthy, either Henry McPatrick. Is that right?
Henry Patrick McHenry is his real name. Okay. I like Henry McPatrick.
Either him or McCarthy, one of them threw Nancy Pelosi out of her office.
I mean, right there. That deserves right? that right there.
Get out of here.
A lifetime appointment.
Right. Whoever did it. I still haven't figured out which one it is. I've heard that it was Kevin McCarthy. It was like the last thing he did before he was voted down, or if it's the interim guy that did it. I've heard both. Either one. Give them co-speakership. They could both have it if that's what they...
I don't know why anybody would want that job.
Oh, gosh. No.
I mean, I get that you get your name in the history books and, you know, the power that comes with it, but the amount of headaches that go along with having that job, you know, trying to keep everyone on your side of the aisle in line, which clearly McCarthy wasn't able to do.
Right. And it's just a thankless job. Like,
yeah,
always somebody coming after you. Like, you can't please all the people all the time.
Except for us. We can, as we do every Sunday morning here on Wham Talk Radio. But no, it's a thankless job. Like you said, it's a job that you're always ticking people off. But bottom line is, I'm just really sick and tired of hearing how hard it is to at least go through the motions of attempting to do things that will make your political base happy.
Right.
It's just so hard. We can't do these things. It's just too tough. It's like, well, then you know what? Then don't run for office.
Right.
But of course you're going to, because I don't know if you know this or not, Sarah. You can make a few nickels, a member of Congress.
Turns out on a six-figure salary, you can become a millionaire within a year.
Yeah. Forget millionaire. If you're lucky enough to be in there for, you know, 20, 30 years, wealth you can acquire.
Sure. But even just 1 year is all you need. If you just try to make a quick mill, just be elected official for a year. You'll walk out of there. Your net worth will be over $1 million after your first service of office.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
So
a blessed people.
But it always amuses me now that Liz Cheney is no longer in the House that people are apparently seeking her opinion. Where she was speaking, this Newsweek piece doesn't mention, it says she spoke in front of a packed house at the University of Minnesota, but a packed house, a packed room. How big was the room?
Exactly.
Was it a closet?
Exactly. These are all just conveniently omitted details.
Yeah.
Because this is a press that really loves to pay attention to how many people are in attendance to things, right? Like, we've spent a lot of time talking about who came to inaugurations, who didn't, who came to speeches, how many people are in the room. And for this, it's just a packed room.
Yeah, a packed room.
That's all. Okay. Cool.
I'm guessing it was a small room.
Me too.
A really, really small.
Like one of those breakout rooms.
Yeah, like the kind of room that you store brooms in. Dustpans. Brooms. We'll be back with more of the Snark Factor coming up. Wham Talk Radio. It was like the beginning of the 80s TV movie The Day After. I was minding my own business, and then all of a sudden, weird alarms started going off. It happened to all of us. Maybe you were alone, or maybe you were in an Apple store. Welcome back. It's the Snark Factor. I'm Fingers Malloy. Follow me on X at Fingers Malloy. Follow Sarah on X at Mama Swati. X is Twitter. Twitter is X. X is Twitter. Twitter is X. Also, if you are a Facebook person, facebook.com/FingersMalloyRadio is where you can find all the stuff that I do here. And of course, Eat, Drink, Smoke, the nationally syndicated radio show. We talk cigars, bourbon, me and my co-host Tony Katz. You can find that on a podcast platform near you or on my website, fingersmalloy.com. So, Sarah, Wednesday was the day where FEMA, Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA,
and Joe Biden himself.
Joe Biden himself, his dog, who got ushered out of the White House for biting too many people. By the way, it was the dog's cocaine, just so you guys know. It was the dog's cocaine.
Now we have that all cleared up.
They sent out, they alerted the bat signal and made everyone's phone go ballistic. It was supposed to be at 2:20 Eastern time Wednesday afternoon. That's what it was supposed to happen at 2:20. It started going off at 2:16. People were complaining it was early. Sure. It was early. And Sarah, what were you anywhere? Were you out amongst the folks, as Bill O'Reilly likes to call them, the folks?
I was not. I was home. I was working. I was on my couch. I was listening to your co-host of Eat, Drink, Smoke, Mr. Tony Katz, in his afternoon program, Tony Katz Today, on WIBC in Indianapolis. And I was waiting for it. I knew it was coming. His went off on air. He was on air and started going off. He was somebody who got an early alert. And he's like, it's early. And oh, it was a whole thing. And I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my phone to do the thing. And I kind of go back to the work I was doing. And the next thing I know, I look over and my phone has the little notice on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's with the little red triangle and it says emergency alert. And this is a test and all the text. But it didn't make a peep, not a sound, not a noise, not a vibration.
Oh,
nothing.
You.
I got nothing.
Lucked out.
I got nothing. And I have no idea. I wish I knew why.
So now you will not be properly warned by the feds when something goes down. When it goes down. I said it, ladies and gentlemen.
The next emergency. I'm making air quotes with my fingers. Emergency that the Fed wants to tell me about.
I'm not gonna get warned. I did notice in my Facebook memories, you know, this happened during the Trump administration. And, you know, everybody went crazy that, the Trump alarm, the orange man bad alarm was going off everywhere.
I don't want that authoritarian fascist to have access to my cell phone. It was something else. And as the listeners of this program know, that this, the text message cell phone FEMA alert was implemented during the Obama administration to coincide with the television and radio alert that had been put in place for decades. Now, it's the emergency broadcast system. We're all familiar with it. But when Trump was president, people lost their minds. It was hilarious. And now it's, you know, we're getting another alert, just like.
I feel like it shouldn't have been some sort of alarm. It should have been maybe Joe Biden's voice.
Right.
On soothing. Loop. Yeah, so, yeah. Your hair smells nice. Your hair smells nice. Your hair smells nice. Your hair smells nice for like 30 seconds.
Anyway.
Where's Corn Pop? Where's Corn Pop? Where's Corn Pop? Where's Corn Pop? On a loop.
It's alarming enough as it is.
So I was not home alone.
Tell us your tale, fingers.
I was at an Apple store.
Oh, no.
And my phone started going off first, and I had forgotten that this was happening. And for the first like 10 seconds, I thought, what weird alarm is going off? And then I said to the person, the tech that was that I was talking to, was, oh, the alarm, the FEMA alarm. And then have you been in an Apple store?
Yes. Not within the last year, but yes.
Usually on dead days, there are still 7,000 people in the Apple store.
Yeah.
So everyone's phone starts going off. And then I'm not positive because so many phones were going off. I don't know if the display phones were going off too, but you had in this Apple store somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 phones on display because you got the 2014 phones. You got the 2015 phones. You got the iPhone Plus, the iPhone Pro, the iPhone Pro Max, and they come in like 18 different colors, and they have to have each one of them on display for people to look at them. I'm not sure if all of those went off as well because I don't know. They didn't have, I'm assuming they don't have SIM cards in them, so I don't know if the non-SIM card phones were going. All I know is it was loud. and I thought World War III was about to break out. That's all I know.
You were sufficiently alerted.
Yes. Thank you, FEMA. And the best part about this whole thing is we do have a story. I don't want to get into it, but apparently FEMA has said that the test went well, but they won't know for sure just how well it went for 4 months.
What is it exactly that they need?
I don't know. But apparently they will not know for sure just how well it went for like 4 months. So there you go.
Your tax dollars at work, ladies and gentlemen. Thank them for their service.
Yeah. So there's that. One person who hopes to be in charge of the federal government, including FEMA at some point, at least the executive branch, is Governor Gavin Newsom of the great state of California. And as you know, Sarah, Senator Dianne Feinstein passed away.
He did. May she rest in peace.
We aren't going to make jokes.
No, of course not.
Let that go. We're going to take the high road. She was, I believe, 90.
Yes.
And so Gavin Newsom gets to appoint her replacement until they can have an election.
Yes, a temporary, a placeholder, if you will.
Yes. In Hollywood, they call them seat fillers.
Ah, yes, California.
In California, yeah. And of course, not wanting to find someone in California, he went to Maryland to find LaFonza Butler. LaFonza Butler, Maryland resident. LaFonza Butler will be the new senator from California via Maryland. Now, well, Maryland.
He has nominated her. From Maryland. But she used to live in California.
That's nice.
You see, she once lived in California. And despite the fact that there are ample other options in the state of California to hold Democratic office, went to Maryland. And look, I'm in Maryland, you know, I'm not knocking Maryland. But what I'm saying is that you didn't have anybody in California that could do this.
Apparently not. I love Maryland, too. You love the crab cakes are there. Love the crab cakes. The Baltimore Orioles.
Love the Baltimore Orioles.
They're wonderful. You know, when you go down the list of classic baseball uniforms, of course, the Detroit Tigers and the Old English D is the best uniform in Major League Baseball. It's everyone knows it. Hashtag science. Then, the Yankee pinstripes second. And then you got the Orioles with their uniform with the little bird on the cap there. Spanky, the Oriole.
The Oriole bird.
Spanky. Isn't that his name? Spanky, the Oriole?
No.
You're not sure? You're an Orioles fan. Isn't his name Spanky? Well,
I sure hope not. I wouldn't think that I would have missed that information.
Spanky the Oriole.
Sure, I'm pretty sure it's just called the Oriole bird.
How does he not have a name? How does the mascot not have a name?
That's actually a really good point. Because the Ravens mascots all have names. The Baltimore Ravens, the football team, has Ravens that are named Edgar Allan and Poe.
There are three of them.
Yes.
But they only put one on the helmet. So which one is on the helmet? Is it Edgar Allan or Poe?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question. It's an excellent question. I think it's just the a generic Raven. And then the actual mascots are these three guys that run around the stadium.
Oh.
And the DC, what are they called? The Nationals.
Yes.
They have they have four presidents as their mascots and they have names. Why doesn't the Oriole bird have a name? It's just called I'm looking at it right now. Well, on April 6, 1979, the Oriole bird hatched out of a giant egg at Memorial Stadium.
And his name,
the official mascot of the Baltimore Orioles,
Spanky.
Oriole bird. No, he doesn't have a name. We should do something about this.
Well, I think we should start a petition.
Yes.
And his name should be Spanky. And I base that on absolutely nothing other than it just
works.
It's fun to say Spanky the Oriole. It's fun.
It does. His height is somewhere between Tweety Bird and Big Bird.
Oh,
this is very official. This is the official. Look, I'm at the Mascot Hall of Fame website giving you this information.
This is
legitimate.
I don't think you should be allowed in the Hall of Fame if you don't have a name.
class of the mascot Hall of Fame class of 2019, the Oriole bird.
Well, let's talk more about Spanky. And by Spanky, I mean Governor Gavin Newsom.
Of course, of course. Absolutely.
So he went ahead and appointed Lafonza.
It's spelled with a PH, like fish.
Yeah.
The band, not the animal. So it's.
Are we sure it's not Lapanza?
We're not sure is the thing. We're just not sure about anything anymore.
We're fairly certain that it's Lafonza, but it could be Lapanza Butler just because it's 2023 and why not?
Why not?
It should be the PH should sound like it should be Lafonza.
Lapanza.
But it could be Lapanza.
Oh.
Who the heck knows? Well, anyway, she apparently was running Emily's List, which, if I remember correctly, Emily's List is the place you go if you need a reputable plumber or electrician. Is that Emily's List?
That is Angie's List.
Oh,
that is Angie's List.
I always get those two mixed up.
Which Angie's List got in big trouble for basically being a money laundering scheme for politicians, and so now they're just called Angie's. They took the list off. I don't know if you know that. When you see commercials now for Angie's, and it's spelled A-N-G-I.
If I can't have faith in Angie's List, where can I have any faith?
Emily's List, for our our curious and inquisitive listening audience, is an American Political Action Committee.
Okay.
That's goal is to help elect Democratic female candidates that are in favor of abortion rights.
So
that's their big thing. Like, they need female politicians that are pro-abortion. Okay, that's what they push. And those of you who are extra curious out there, Emily stands for early money is like yeast.
Oh, stop it.
No, I will do no such thing. I will do no such thing. That is the name of their political action conference.
Early
money is like yeast.
What sounds more believable? Emily's List. The Emily stands for early money is like yeast. Or the name of the Oriole. For the Baltimore Orioles, his name is Spanky. Hit us up, Fingers Malloy Radio on Facebook, and let us know what's more believable. Because if I were a betting man, push. That's all I'm saying. Push. Wow. What an age we live in.
Tell you what.
Amazing. So we couldn't find anyone. I'm making fun because we also made fun of Mitt Romney for the same reason. They couldn't find anyone qualified on the right in Utah to be the United States Senators. So you got to bring in Mitt Romney. Nobody in California. I'm doing the math right now, Sarah. I'm doing the math as we speak. Carry the one, four. Or I could just look at the New York Post, where they say California is the most populous state in America.
That is a fact. But there was no one that currently lives in the state of California that could possibly fill the shoes of Dianne Feinstein. This is embarrassing. You may be asking yourself, what are Lapanza Butler's qualifications to be senator? Aside from running the yeast pack, which is now what I'm going to be calling it from here on out, just so everybody knows.
Stay yeasty. That's what I say.
Stay yeasty out there. Great. The yeast pack. So aside from her years doing that, she also worked for Vice President Kamala Harris's failed 2020 presidential campaign.
How did that early money work out for Kamala Harris?
Pretty sure it bought her in the Mister a house. Pretty sure, because she didn't make it past the first debate. She couldn't pull over 1%.
Well,
so whatever money came in went somewhere.
I hope that house always smells like fresh baked bread.
Oh, lovely. I'm sure she has servants that cook bread for her.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. Nice, yeasty bread.
So will Emily's List be able to guide me to get a plumber? So they don't do that?
No, only if that plumber is a female running for office that loves abortion.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know who else loves abortion? Tom Hanks. No, he doesn't. That's a joke. I don't know what Tom Hanks
that's called has a segue, to do, ladies and gentlemen.
Has to do with abortion. But... Tom Hanks is warning fans about an AI version of himself that's used to avert to advertise a dental plan.
Oh, this is great. This is great. Wait, so someone is using a fake Tom Hanks to sell their dentistry?
Yes, a bridge. If you need dentures, bridge work, anything, a crown.
That's amazing. Well, I, for one, always go to Tom Hanks for my direction as to where to get my dental work done. So this was very smart of them.
On a side note, Tom Hanks' best movie, Dragnet. There, I said it. Dragnet. It went all downhill after Dragnet. He started yelling at soccer balls, started having funny mustaches, pretending to be pilots. It wasn't good. It hasn't been good. I don't care what anybody says. Dragnet was gold, baby. Gold.
I've never seen it, so I'm going to have to check that out. I'm aware of its existence. I just have never actually seen it, but okay. I'll check it out. Cause I can't think of one Tom Hanks movie that I actually love.
Emily's List actually ranked it as one of Tom Hanks' best movies.
Nice.
Yeah. So he got on his Instagram and he said, beware. 2 exclamation points. There's a video out there promoting some dental plan with an AI version of me. I have nothing to do with it. Nothing. So that you could say nice. When it comes to this dental plan and Tom Hanks, they aren't bosom buddies. Thank you.
It's another Tom Hanks project.
Thank you.
Ask Jeeves, bosom buddies.
I'll be here all week. Try the fish. Speaking of television shows, the Drew Barrymore show is back. I know we're all excited. That's coming back.
I get all of my news from the Drew Barrymore show. So I'm glad.
So they announced a new premiere. As you remember, Sarah, that Drew Barrymore said that they were bringing the show back during the writer's strike. Well, the writer's strike is over. It's been settled. And, thank God for that, because now late night television is back. So you can see.
I mean, I've been lost without it.
I mean, what were we doing all this time without the Seth Meyers show?
Right. Without Jimmy Kimmel telling us about our medical decisions.
Yes. Well, the Drew Barrymore show, Drew made the announcement that she was coming back and it ticked off a lot of people and there was backlash.
It got her a lot of hot water. And so she didn't come back.
Right. Well, now she announced a new premiere date for season 4. And all three of her co-head writers, the ones who were previously employed by Barrymore, have declined to return.
Ouch.
Yeah. So now they're in the process of finding new co-writers. And the question I pose is, they're writers on the Drew Barrymore show?
Yeah, it's weird because it's very free flowy. Like, it's just Drew Barrymore being quirky with her friends, right?
Yeah.
Her guests are just people that she knows because she knows everybody because she's been doing this since she was 11. And she's just quirky.
Isn't it amazing?
I don't know.
It feels like she should be 65 years old.
Right.
Because she's been around forever.
Right.
But she hasn't. But these co-writers are taking a stand saying, listen, you were going to start the show up while we were on strike. Mm-hmm. We don't even know who you are anymore, Drew.
You're not on our side, that's for sure. Well, and that was the argument that she was making when she tried to start the show up. She was like, look, I have people who aren't writers that work on this show that I want to get back to work and pay. And I think it's not going to be, as good without my writers, but we can do it.
Yeah.
But that was not good enough. There were all sorts of rules that you were not allowed. There were, no picket line crossy rules.
Yeah. And now,
Drew Barrymore is Hollywood royalty. Her parents were both film and television stars. And
I mean, honestly, if we're trying to break this down, are they really going to be able to make Drew Barrymore a villain? I mean, everybody seems to like her.
Right.
She's,
she's so quirky.
That right? You know who you wouldn't consider quirky if you were talking to the folks out there about them are Philadelphia sports fans.
Oh, yeah. No, infamously, like the worst people out there.
Yes. And that's actually
specifically, I think, but
they're terrible. My goodness, there was a video that came out a few weeks ago of Vikings fans trying to get it into MetLife Stadium. Isn't it Veterans Stadium for the Eagles? Anyway, Philadelphia Stadium.
The Eagles Stadium
and the Eagles fans that were not wanting to let them through, giving them the finger, yelling and stuff, throwing stuff. It's like, it's just a football game. What's wrong with you people? Right. But you found a feel-good story about Philadelphia fans.
We did, guys. They're not all bad. A Phillies fan, and this is from over at CrossingBroad.com. I don't know. This is where I found the story. You can probably find it everywhere. A Phillies fan bought $4,500 worth of beer for an entire section of fellow Phillies fans. This person is asked to remain anonymous. Allegedly, reportedly, this person has done this before. This has been the second or third incident of this case. And as we all know, $4,500 worth of beer at a baseball park comes out to about 23 and a half beers. So it was very nice of him to buy that many beers.
I see what you did there
in the stadium. No, when I told my husband about the story, he started doing the math. And then he was like, if you spend that much money to buy cases of beers, you could buy 5,568 beers. Wow. If you bought them by the case. And I was like, it's a lot of math.
100,000 Bud Lights.
Right. Or that. That was nice. It was nice. The vendor just came down with a big thing of beers and was like, show me your ID. You get a free beer.
Wow.
It was really nice. Very definitely a feel good
story. The kids call that paying it forward. Mm-hmm. That's what they call it. By the way, the Eagles stadium is Lincoln Financial Field. The Link. Yeah. Remember, so I'm glad when, we got
stadiums
that.
Stadiums had good names instead of just branded.
Like the Silver Dome.
Yeah, man.
The Silver Dome. The Astrodome, the Superdome. Now it's
there's one around here that was called the Nissan Stadium when I was growing up. That was the whole thing, and now it's called like the Jiffy Lube Live or something. And it didn't even occur to people that what Nissan was a branded name too, just because it had been that for so long. And so when they changed it, they're like, why are you branding? Oh, never mind.
Oh, and with that, we have to go. She's Sarah. I'm Fingers. We'll be back next week with an all-new Snark Factor Wham Talk Radio.